good song. Good song. You should derive some comfort from that. The first verse says, "In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along where the waters cool flow, bathes a weary one's feet." That, I'm sure, has reference to Psalm 23, where He maketh us to lie down in the green pastures and beside the still waters of His Word. May He make us lie down, be still, and know that He is God, and be comforted by the waters of His Word. All right. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. As I say so often, most of God's Word is written to believers. Unbelievers, there's only warnings to unbelievers. They will not receive the Word anyway, unless they are God's elect, and then the promises will apply to them. But most of the Scriptures are to believers, especially these letters or these epistles. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, and I said last Sunday that 1 Peter was one of my favorites. Well, this is too, along with 2 Thessalonians and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and on, but this is the most precious portion of Scripture. Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God," and it's a blessed thing to know your election. It's a comforting thing to know your election. I don't see how anybody could rest without knowing their election, without giving diligence to make their calling and election sure. But it's a comforting thing to know our election, because that entitles us to all the promises of God. And they're innumerable. And they're unspeakable. And they're higher than the heavens are above the earth. Our election entitles us to all the promises of God. And he says we may know our election because, verse 5, the gospel came. Our gospel. Our gospel, not another. Paul said there's another going around, but it's not the gospel. It's a perversion. It's not a version, it's a perversion. About a God who can't, about a Christ who didn't, about a man who must. That's all it amounts to, isn't it? But Paul said the gospel in Romans 1, the gospel, our gospel, the gospel is the gospel of God. It's God's gospel, it's about God. It's from God, it's by God, it's for God, and it glorifies God. It's the gospel, he said, which was promised before in the Scriptures. It's the old gospel. It's the gospel of the Old Testament. We're Old Testament believers around here. That's all the Bible the apostles had, wasn't it? And he said the gospel according to the Scriptures. We are Old Testament believers here, as well as... No, it's the old gospel. It's old paths wherein is the good way. Like Jeremiah said, it's the only way. The way. Grace. That's the old path. The good way. Gospel of grace. Sovereign grace. Been sovereign grace from the beginning, hadn't it? It's the gospel, he said, concerning his Son. Concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that talks about Christ. What he did. Who he is, where he is now. That's the only gospel there is. Any gospel that dwells on man is not the gospel. Any gospel that calls on man to do anything is not the gospel. But that gospel which simply declares what Christ has done, who he is, where he is now, that's the gospel. Concerning God's Son, our Lord. The gospel is a person. It's a person. It's about Christ. the gospel is. His righteousness, Christ's life, Christ's death, Christ's blood, Christ's prayers, Christ's power. It's Christ's gospel. It's the gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. And Paul went on to say that gospel is the one that declares him to be the Son of God with power. Not the one who tries and fails, that pitiful little Jesus that everybody's feeling sorry for, but the gospel of the Son of God who has all authority given unto him in heaven and earth, even the keys of hell and death are dangling from his side. The gospel of Christ who has all power, the one who created all things by his power, and one who sustains all things by his power, and one who must save us by his power. And it's that gospel. Paul said, our gospel came to you. Is that gospel here? Did it come here? You're elect. At least somebody is in here that believes it. And I believe there are quite a few. That's our gospel. That's the gospel. And he said it came to us, not in just word only, not just letter, not doctrine only, dead, dry doctrine, but in power. Verse 5, I'm reading verse 5. But in power, heart-piercing power. Heart-piercing power, soul-saving power, life-changing power. And the Holy Ghost, it said. The gospel came in the Holy Ghost who teaches, who leads, who guides into all truth. The Holy Ghost who bears witness with our spirit and gives us much assurance, he said. Came in much assurance. Why do we have much assurance of our salvation? Because we've got a surety. You can have much assurance. Yea, all assurance if you've got a surety. Your assurance, the extent of your assurance is based on how big your surety is. How powerful your surety is. Now, if your surety has all power, then you should have all assurance. All assurance. Chapter 2 now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says in verse 4, now we were allowed of God to be put in trust with his gospel, the gospel. We were allowed of God. This is a blessed privilege, the highest honor on earth for a man, for a woman to receive the gospel. I'm not just talking about preaching it. I'm talking about people hearing it. We were allowed, God allowed us to sit in on the mysteries that have been kept hid from the foundation of the world, but are now revealed unto us by his Spirit. God allowed us to sit in on what even the prophets desire to look into, what angels right now desire to look into. He has revealed them unto us. God has allowed us to sit in on this gospel and to believe it, and preachers to preach it. Entrusted men with the jewel, the crown, crowning jewel of God's crown, the gospel. That crowning jewel, he has entrusted men, given them this blessed privilege of preaching the gospel. The gospel. So what must we preach? The issues of the day? Social issues, political issues. Oh, those things fade into insignificance, don't they, when you think about the gospel. The greatest story ever told of the greatest man who ever lived, who performed the greatest work ever performed. So great a salvation. We're going to talk about the next election. Oh, let's talk about this election. It's far greater. The next one won't mount the hill of beans anyway. Will it? Get some dude in there, he won't be any different than the last. No, he won't. I know what I've said in the past. But he won't amount to much different. He says in verse 4, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, so that's what we're going to speak. He said the same thing over in 2 Corinthians 2. He said, in sincerity as of God. Talking about a preacher now, or those who witness the gospel, those who declare it out there, you. In sincerity, you were sincere about this thing, as of God, as though God did beseech you by us. in the sight of God. God's listening. God's watching what we're doing, listening to what we're saying. So what are we going to talk about? What are we going to meet together to do tonight? That which the angels and cherubs and seraphs and the multitude of heavenly hosts and the saints that have gone before us are doing right at this very moment. What? Praising the Lamb. That's what this is all about. So that's what Paul says. We're going to speak of Christ. We're going to speak of Christ. It's that which, as I said, angels desire to look into. It's that which sinners need desperately. Sinners need to hear it over and over again. Tell me once again the old story. Because I forget so soon. Tell me. Old sinners need this over and over again, don't they? It's their comfort. It's their bread. And it's that which God Almighty just smiles upon. You delight to hear about your children, to hear your children spoken of, don't you? Huh? Yeah, you do. Don't deny it. Matter of fact, when I'm around you, I hate for somebody to bring them up. Because you'll just go on and on. I mean, that's what God Almighty insists that we do, doesn't it? Doesn't it? That's what He insists that we do. Just go on and on about my son. You can't tell enough about my son. Why? Because he is all. He is all. And he says there in verse 4, he said, we don't speak as pleasing men, true preachers, or God's disciples, Christ's disciples, His followers, His witnesses. They're not out to please people. If I yet seek to please men, he said, I'm not the servant of Christ. But who does a servant seek to please? His master. Who is our master? Christ is our master. So we're not seeking to be men pleasers or appeasers. Pleasers or appeasers. But God declarers and heralds of the truth. Heralds of the truth. And it's a fact, though, if you do declare the truth, the gospel of God's sovereign mercy, grace, effectual redemption, that won't please them. That will not please men. The self-righteous, it will not please them, but it'll sure thrill sinners, won't it? That's who we're after anyway. Not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And that gospel of sovereign mercy will thrill sinners. It won't make them mad, it'll make them glad. So we're not out to please men, per se. We're on the trail of His sheep. Then Paul thanks God for all these Thessalonians. Verse 13, he says, and for this cause we thank God. That's who we give thanks to. That's why we're here. Give thanks to Him for all that He's done. For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing. We pray without ceasing. As He said, we thank God without ceasing because, verse 13, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, which you heard preached, you received it. And He said in John 1, as many as received Him. Those that did so because they were born of God. Right? There's another mark of election, right? Believed on. Great is the mystery of God. Believed on in the Word. And He said, you received the Word, not as the Word of a man. You actually sit and listen to a vessel of clay, an earthen vessel, and hear Him as He speaks, and verily believe that God Almighty speaks through Him. As it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you. It worked a miracle in you when you first heard it, and it continues to work that miracle in you. Same old thing. Same old, same old. That's what makes it a miracle. That's the reason you can believe it's the power of God, can't you? Same old, same old. Same old, same old. But it's glorious. Verse 14, he says, you brethren, and you became followers of the churches of God in Judea, which are in Christ, you also have suffered. You suffered things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. Who, verse 15, read it with me now, this is important. You suffered because, and this is the this is the pretty much the subject of the message tonight. You've suffered same thing, like things as others from the Jews and others who killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. They persecute us. They persecute you. And you suffered for your stand for the gospel. And that's what the scripture says. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus, all that will believe Christ and Christ alone, who will declare Christ and Christ alone, they shall suffer persecution. Scripture said. They shall. Trials, afflictions, sadness, and sorrow are the lot of every believer. To wean us from the world, to conform us to the image of Christ, but the chief affliction that God's people are called on to endure, and it's one they endure from the moment they declare Christ, the moment they believe Christ by God's grace, the chief affliction that they're called on to endure, and that tribulation which is spoken of more than any other, is persecution for Christ's sake. Being hated of all men for Christ's sake. That's it. And Christ said, being cast out. That's what my margin says there. Cast out. They said they chased us out, verse 15. Persecuted us, chased us out. Get out here. In a God-hating, Christ-hating, gospel-hating, grace-hating world, you shall have tribulation and persecution. But be of good cheer. Remember Brother Harding's article? Be of good cheer. All those that love Christ and declare Him are going to receive the same thing that He received. Right? That's what Christ said. He said, if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, it'll be the same thing again. If they've received my word, they receive yours. But they didn't, and they won't. If they hated me, count on it. They'll hate you. And these Thessalonians, they suffered. They did. They suffered persecution. They suffered tribulation. They suffered afflictions for their stand for the gospel. And this is what chapter 3 is all about. This is what chapter 3 is all about. All right, let's look at it again. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he said, when we couldn't wait any longer, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We stayed here. We needed to stay here and preach and so forth. But verse 2, we couldn't wait, so we sent Timothy. We heard about what was going on there, the persecution and all that was going on there. And so we sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborers, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. We sent Timothy not to organize a political rally, not to organize a prayer in public school, but to preach the gospel that he might establish and comfort you in your faith. And that's the title of this message, A Message to Establish and Comfort You. To establish and comfort you. Paul was anxious to hear about how these Thessalonians were doing, so they sent Timothy to establish and comfort you concerning your faith. Did you see that? Concerning your faith. To establish your faith, to comfort you in this faith that God has given you. However small it may be. He said mustard seed can accomplish some things. Didn't it? In a world of tribulation, we've been talking about this lately. In a world of tribulation, a world full of trouble. There's a world of trouble out there. You're in for a world of hurt things. You heard of that old saying? That's true, isn't it? Our Lord's the one that said it. In the world you shall have tribulation. You must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. You must. In the world you shall have tribulation. And a world full of trouble out there. The only thing that's going to keep us from being overcome by it all This is that which overcometh. That which would overcome you. This is that which overcometh, John said, even your faith. This is that which will comfort you. Faith. Faith. That's what he said. John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world? This world of trouble and tribulation and hurt. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This goes a whole lot deeper than just believing, you know, the facts that he's the Son of God. He that believeth that Jesus Christ is Lord, this is that which will comfort, settle, establish you. Believe that he is Lord. I'm not like old Kenneth Copeland like to say it, just in word only. Now remember, Jesus is Lord. You might as well say fiddlesticks for all that you believe that. But the believer, this is your comfort. And this is that which will establish you so you won't be moved away by these afflictions. That Jesus Christ is Lord. I am the Lord, he said. What's that mean? That means he declares the end from the beginning. Known unto this Lord are all his works from the beginning. Said, done. He who purposes all things, and it will come to pass, and it's all A-double-L for your good. A-double-L, all he says for your good. He who said, I wound, are you wounded? He said, I did it. I'm the Lord. He who heals, are you healed? Rejoice. He did it. Rejoice in the Lord, I say. Rejoice. He who said, I kill, somebody die, he killed them. I'm the Lord. Somebody living, I make alive, he said. I kill, I make alive. You brought down, he said, I bring down. You brought up, he said, I brought you up. You got peace, he said, I make peace. Is some evil overcome, he said, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now this will establish you. And comfort you, settle you down. He said, be still and know I'm God. He's the Lord. He's the sovereign ruler. He's the judge of all the earth. He's too wise to err. He's too good to do evil. He always does what's right. Shall he not? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right every time? In every instance, in every situation, concerning everyone and everything, right. It ain't wrong, it's right. Everything. He who never lies, and I'll say it again, I'll just repeat what he said. He who never lies, it's impossible. He is the truth. He cannot lie. He said, A-double-L, all things work together for your good. This will establish you. This will comfort you. Right? This will comfort you. This is the only thing that will comfort. Rather, he is the only one that will comfort and establish you. Come what may, with Eli we may say, it's the Lord. Come what may, with Eli we may say, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. Who did this thing? This all the Lord did it. Huh? I sat in my study a little while ago and wrote some names down out of this congregation, thinking about some of the trials. And those that missed tonight, they forsake their own mercy. Those of you who are here, you ought to get something out of this. Something. But I wrote several names down, more than 16, 17 names, quit writing, of people who are going through trials in this little congregation alone. Some of them very severe and tough trials. He said we would, didn't he? The Lord promised. The Lord foretold us of these tribulations, didn't he? Look at verse 3. He says, no man should be moved by these afflictions. You yourselves know we are appointed thereunto. Didn't he say that? No man should be moved, or rather moved away, or shaken beyond belief. Why is this happening to me? He said, bad things are going to happen. What we may think are bad. He said, I create peace, I create evil. That word evil means things we think are evil. But count on it. Let this be established in your mind and heart. You believe Christ, you trust Him. Whatever it is, no matter how evil or bad it may appear, it's for our good. It's not for evil. Joseph said, well, what do you think? Joseph, in prison, cast away from his family, wrongly imprisoned, wrongly accused, over and over again, till he was an old man. Stan, what did he finally conclude with? He said, y'all meant it for evil. Everybody meant it for evil. Everybody with wicked hands took and put me in jail. Everybody did this to me, evilly, wickedly, but the Lord meant it for good. Was it? Did it turn out good? I read Genesis 50. Read the end of the story. As someone would say, that's the rest of the story. For good. You meant it for evil. But you cannot do anything but what my Lord God determines to be done. Right? Go ahead, Nancy. Say it out loud. I saw your lips move. Amen. Hey, women. No man should be moved. No woman should be moved by these afflictions. You yourselves know we are appointed thereunto. He said it. It's not only given for you to believe, but to what? Somebody quote it. Not only given unto you to believe, but also to say it. Anybody? Suffer for Christ's sake. Then he said, suffer. Here it is. Verse 4, he said, verily, when we were with you, we told you before we should suffer tribulation, and here it is. He said, here it is. Here it is. Whatever you may be going through, here it is. It's what the Lord said. It's what the apostles affirm. And Paul wrote, and Paul sent Timothy to know how they were getting along through this suffering. He sent Timothy to find out. Y'all holding up okay? He sent Timothy to establish them now. To settle them. To comfort them. To reassure them. To reaffirm. To confirm what he's already said. To preach the gospel again. To declare Christ as Lord again. Lord over all. Again. To comfort them. He sent Timothy to know of their welfare, verses 6 through 8. And he said, now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith, you still believe in spite of what's happened. You still believe. And love, and you have good remembrance of us. You're thinking about us, desiring greatly to see us. Brethren, verse 7, we were comforted. We were comforted over you, you in all our affliction. You see, Paul said, I've got some problems too. Paul said, I've got some problems too. I've got some afflictions, some trials, and some distresses. And he mentioned those things, didn't he, in other places. Let me just read a few to you. He said over in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, my, he said, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fasting, dishonor, evil report, as sorrowful yet making many happy or endeavoring to do so. Poor yet making many rich. Paul, he said, He said, we've got some trials of our own. When we sent to know how you were doing, we heard you, the Lord was upholding you in these things. It comforted us. You see, we're comforted by the same comforted wherewith you're comforted. We've got to get the same comfort from the same place you're getting comfort. All the while trying to comfort you, you give us comfort, he said. You give us comfort. We're in affliction. We're in distress. He said that. We don't have all the answers. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Why? He's still Lord. Persecuted. Oh, persecuted. Weren't they persecuted? He said in one place, he said, everybody in Asia's left me. But not forsaken entirely. It's somebody with us that only one really matters. Same Lord. He said, we're cast down, oh, cast down. Oh, why art thou cast down within me? Oh, my soul, cast down. But he said, we're going to get up. We're not destroyed by this thing, not overcome by, always bearing about in the body these things. Didn't he say that? And he said, when we heard of you, you gave us comfort. Verse 8, he said, now we live. We've got reason to keep living if you stand fast in the Lord. If you quit, he says, we're going to lose sleep. We're going to be troubled. But if you stand fast, we can go on preaching and live with some joy. Verse 9, he says, what thanks can we render to God again for you? We can, all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God. All the joy we've had together, shall light afflictions cause us to forget weighty mercies? And he said, night and day we pray exceedingly that we might see you again, perfect or help you in some way, and you help us. That which is lacking in our faith, you got something lacking in your faith? That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to teach you necessarily. I'm here to get to learn together. Learn together. I'm learning from the same. I just happened to read it before you did and study it earlier. Now, he says, now he prays and he says, now God himself and our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, may he direct our way unto you. And may the Lord make you to increase and bound in love one toward another and toward all men. And God knows, he's our witness, we do toward you. We do love you. And this is the end. This is the goal. This is the purpose. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. This is what everything we are called upon to endure is all about. This is why we're here tonight. This is what it's all about. Verse 13. To the end, to the goal, to the purpose, that he may establish your hearts unblameable, without sin, in holiness before your God. Who can do that? Christ only. Right? Christ only. His righteousness imputed, his blood shed for the remission of your sin. He only can present you faultless, unblameable, before the presence of his glory, before God, even our Father. Yes, he's our Father. In the day that he comes to receive you, to receive us together and all his saints. And quickly, over there in chapter 4, verse 18, he says, comfort one another with these words. Didn't he? When you get together, don't dwell on your problems and so forth and do all nothing but cry on one another's shoulders. Comfort one another. How? With these words. With these words. With these words. And he said over in 2 Thessalonians and all of his, he said, brethren, or no, it's that same chapter there, verse 4, or chapter 4. He says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And we're going to shout with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in the cloud. And we're going to be caught up in it all, aren't we? To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. You remember that article that laid out in this bulletin, but in last Sunday before last, I think it was McShane who died at such an early age. He said, right soon, we're going to drink new wine with Christ in the kingdom, with our dearly departed brothers and sisters, and with one another, and He shall wipe away all tears. It's going, then it will be pie in the sky in the sweet by and by with the Lord and with His saints. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. It's a little while. This too shall pass. All right. Hope that was a help to you. Stand with me. Stand with me. John, would you dismiss us, please? Dismissed.